I was actually looking up some statistics about logging because it's, I think it's the most dangerous job in the U.S.
And yeah, it's up there.
And I was doing some statistics, and you had a 4-time more likely chance of dying if you were deployed in Afghanistan than if you were a professional logger. So that's like 1 year in Afghanistan is equal to 4 years as a logger.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and then what's even crazier is that 4 times more people died of suicide after coming back from Afghanistan than they did in Afghanistan. If that goes to tell you anything about the war over there.
It's, I don't know. I in researching one of our other videos, I came across some of the, like, propaganda that put us over there and some of the people that were just blatantly lying because they're war hawks. And I don't understand, like, they must be possessed, because how you would send that many people to their death over something that's basically just money and, like, a lust for power is beyond me. I cannot...
We're talking about civilians over there?
Civilians and our own people, and just in general destabilization.
Because we lost very few people in Afghanistan.
But we still lost people. Like, people still died. Even a couple people dying, and even all the civilians that we killed, like, you would think that you would have some trouble with that. I know that there is, like, I have the capability. Jordan Peterson talks about it, and I'm not a huge Jordan Peterson fan, but, like, you have to know what evil you're capable of.
And you discover just exactly what you're capable of.
And then you have to take steps to not do that, but you need to know what... And I have to say that, like, I would be capable of some pretty dark things. I don't think I'm capable like that. I don't think that I could live with myself starting a war knowing, like a lot of these people did, that they were starting a war and killing people on just lies. And not just a couple people, like, millions.
Yeah.
That is, like, the hundreds of millions of people that have died.
Isn't it interesting that as soon as we get out of Afghanistan, we're in Ukraine? And and I don't remember who it was. I'll show it. There was a somebody high up in the Russian military said that he wasn't worried about the amount of funding that the West gave Ukraine because none of it was going to make it to the front lines.
Mm-hmm.
And that just goes to show you how many people are dying over in Ukraine because somebody in the West wants to make money.
Well, it's also insane, like, the stuff that we've done, which are just direct acts. Our bombing of the Nord Stream pipeline is one of the largest acts of civilian terrorism, not against civilians, but civilian infrastructure terrorism in history. Like, the amount of people that were directly affected by us taking that out, and the amount of, like, the change in the war, and that is such a crazy thing for a country to do to another country and then just act like it's
I don't think it was Germany. I think it was one of their neighbors. Were restricting people from exporting firewood this past winter because they were afraid that they wouldn't have enough fuel to heat their houses since they took out the Russian gas.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, these are all these countries that have been pushing against a lot of these fuels for a long time. You have people that are very against the... I even saw arguments where they're saying, oh, it's good that we're not pushing all this oil and gas because we're stopping all these fossil fuels. And then you're like, oh, really? Because Germany is just destroying, like, huge swaths of land, like, historic towns going under everything by strip mining basically, like, half the country for coal because they don't have access to the Russian oil, which they already were pulling a lot of coal. But Germany's an interesting one because they're a country that's restricted nuclear.
Yeah.
And so they're really forced to rely on these other fossil fuels.
Yeah, before Not we that talk I think restricting a nuclear. Whole lot more about the Ukraine war, I just want to bring up how much corn we take and we turn it into ethanol just so that we can burn it in our cars, and how it takes more fossil fuels than we don't save any mileage putting ethanol in our cars. We would have saved more fossil fuels if we just burned gasoline.
the same with all the new cars. Like, they have these regulations that, especially in California, there was a huge, like...
Don't they have it on the books to, like, take diesel out of their trucking industry by 20-something, 2030?
Yeah, and they banned trucks on the road there that are, I forget what year, but, like, a really recent year. Like, it's basically...
2016 or something like that.
Yeah, you have to have a brand new truck, and that's another like attack on literally the most common occupation for like low income white men is trucking.
Well, it's something that most people can fall back on if like something else doesn't work out. You can.
And trucking is it's not like it's super physical, but it's like a hard enough job, and it takes enough out of you that it's like it's hard. But just about anybody with enough, like you or I could probably support a family trucking right now where we live. Mm-hmm. But if this continues, they've taken away that entire income source. And but by forcing everyone to put these new trucks on, they've actually created more distress in the environment than if they and pollution in the environment than if they'd left these trucks on the road. Every new car makes way more creates way more pollution to create than if you just left the old car on the road. Emissions, just in general, is a crazy idea.
Oh, yeah, with like, checking your car to see if it passes.
Yeah, even if you have a 2018 model that is burning oil...
All right, let's make a new catalytic converter. Go mine the platinum.
Yeah, like a brand new car that you just rolled off the lot that's burning oil and you catch it not quite meeting emissions, it would still take more emissions that car could possibly give off in its lifetime running badly to create a new car to replace it than catching it with bad emissions. And you know,
it's all this paradoxical regulation
and you wonder how much of is it to drive industry, how much is it people that just are genuinely misinformed.
Well, if you have a large enough stock in some lithium mine, it's a good idea.
Or if you just want
make everybody switch to electric.
Or if you want car manufacturers to be able to keep selling cars. I mean, we know that they're willing to do stuff that genuinely hurts the consumer. I mean, we have proof. If you go to engineering school, they'll teach you how to make stuff that breaks after a certain amount of usage. And we have cars that will run to a million miles. Like those old diesel Mercedes from, I think it was the 70s and 80s, they're like almost all of them are still on the road. And
they make most engines to last a million, but then they make some transmission that'll only last 200,000. So
yeah, I feel like there's a lot of engines that won't make a million either.
A lot of them will.
Yeah,
when you stop putting oil in it, it won't. But
it's not just that, it's the rest of the car. It's like, oh well, that shock is good till then, that's good till then. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's mostly one of the things that I've always noticed. It's mostly parts that won't kill you when they break. Mm-hmm. You just have to get a new car.
Yeah.
So I guess good on them for that. It'd probably be bad for business. I mean, at least they're not like, yeah, you better buy a new car before 300,000 miles, or you'll fly through the windshield.
Reminds me of the Ford Pinto, if they were.
Although I heard that was. No, it wasn't the Pinto. It was the other car that was really maligned. The Pinto would actually blow people up.
Yeah.
There was another car, they wrote a book on it called Unsafe at Any Speed. It was a book by Ralph Nader about the Corvair. And the Corvair was, like, there was wrecks, and there was, like, this weird causation where they seemed to see that that Corvairs were, like, in all these different stuff. And I guess they have a rear-mounted engine, and they weren't super well-built. But it ended up being that it was almost, like, maligned, and that they weren't nearly as dangerous as it was originally put out to be.
Well, I'm pretty sure the Pinto only blew you up if the blinker was blinking. So
is that what it was?
Yeah, they had, like, had some wiring issue with the gas tank. So if the blinker was blinking and you had a rear-end collision, you'd blow up.
Which I guess if you're stopped at the stop sign and trying to make a right.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, that's, you know, you're going to have low speed collisions with. But then they did the math and decided that it's easier to pay off families than actually save people's lives. So.
Which is, yeah. Both cars are interesting. I know people who are like, yeah, I redid the gas tank, and then, okay, I know one guy. He redid the gas tank, but it was just, like, above where the original gas tank was, under the back window. Mm-hmm. It was just, like, sitting in the car with him at that point, and it was, like, a plastic boat gas tank. And I was like, you know, I don't know if that's safer. It might be, but
I just feel like you're still... Just redo the blinker.
Yeah. But, because... Most cars' gas tanks are in the back. I guess there's a little bit more space between the back bumper and the gas tank than...
Yeah.
Because wasn't the Pinto's gas tank basically, like, right behind the bumper?
I'm not really sure how it was. All right, wait. Back to Ukraine. I just think it's crazy how, like, how little attention it's gotten after they promoted all their funding for it. And... Like, they pushed so hard for it in the news, and now nothing. And we're right up to, really close to the one-year anniversary, and the numbers they're giving you for like, the casualties over there is just astounding if you actually take time to consider them.
I think the war isn't going as well as they hoped, and so they're not putting it out there as much as they wanted to. I mean, there's the part of the military-industrial complex that just wants wars to keep going, and they don't care who's winning, as long as they can keep...
Yeah, making. They're still winning, because they got new orders for new Stinger missiles, or all...
And the military is putting it forward, like, oh, well, we get to test all these things. This is a great opportunity to test, like, to have people test all these technology that we have in real combat.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
I guess I can take 3 points from this. The first one being is that the future of warfare is going to be largely dominated by drones. And mm-hmm. And the second one is just that, like, Ukraine has, it's like 40 million people, and they say they have 130,000 casualties, which is roughly 0.3%. And that is the same number of people, the same percentage of people that we had killed in World War II. Now we're comparing casualties to deaths, which isn't fair. In World War II, we had about 1 million casualties, but they've only had 1 year, and they've had close to half of what we did in the entire 5 years in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty devastating for Ukraine. And yeah. On the other hand, Russia has lost 0.1%. I think, which is still respectable. That is a lot of people that they've thrown at Ukraine. But there's no way that Ukraine is going to be able to keep up. And really, we're just arming Ukraine till every last man in Ukraine's been killed or fled.
There's so much that can be said in that situation, from like top leaders and stuff letting their own people leave Ukraine before the war actually kicked off. Then forcing Ukrainian men to stay and fight, and you have your Russian-speaking Ukrainians who wanted to leave Ukraine and to become part of Russia, who were the UN found that there was these huge clashes in Ukraine back after the last conflict, and they killed thousands and thousands of people. I think it was over 10,000. Now, this is just off the top of my head, and the UN, who is not very, like, they're usually very biased for whoever is on, you know, the Western side against Russia, were saying that it was about 80% Ukrainians' fault, or ethnic Ukrainians' fault, and the rest of the blame was on the Russians, which was a very small percentage over these, like, basically killings. You have this huge percentage of Ukrainians who don't actually want to be a free country. You have this other population of, like, extremist Ukrainians who are ethnic Ukrainians that want to be a free country and are willing to take all the Western things as, like, a problem. Most Ukrainians are pretty conservative, even the ones fighting for Ukraine.
By free country, but, are we referring to free from Russia or free from the West or just free Ukraine.
Basically free Ukraine, but not free from the war. I mean, they're basically saying, I've watched a couple things, like you see these like Azov Battalion and these like far-right groups that are fighting for Ukraine. And they basically, like, they'll people ask them, like, yeah, but aren't you guys against abortion and gay rights and like all this different sex change surgeries? And they're like, yeah, but that's a necessary evil for us to be free from Russia. Which is an interesting take. So, like, even a lot of the people fighting on the Ukrainian side are not actually super in support of what's going on with their government. I mean,
like, for saying free Ukraine, a lot of Ukraine is historically Catholic, and if I'm not mistaken, Zelensky's done a whole lot to shut down the Orthodox view, I guess is what it is.
You also talk about free Ukraine. Ukraine was made by the USSR, most of it. Ukraine, what is it? It means like basically on the border of Russia, like it's the borderlands, and there's only a tiny part of what we now call Ukraine that was originally considered Ukraine. Everything, like, there's a river that runs through, and everything on one side of the river, which is a lot of what Russia has taken back, was Russian forever. And then the Soviets, when they were portioning things up to make it work better, added a lot of stuff to Ukraine. Basically, I think it's like the whole East Bank of everything was, or the whole West Bank of Ukraine was basically all added.
You ever played Risk?
No, I have not.
Well, on Risk, Ukraine is the really big country in Europe.
Really?
Yeah, it's ridiculously big.
But I think we may end up having somebody who is very knowledgeable on the Ukraine conflict actually come and talk with us for a little bit on an upcoming episode, and I think that'd be really exciting. I'm not as well informed as I'd like to be on the subject, but mm-hmm. with everything going on just here, it's really interesting. You can have a gut feeling on something and do like minor research, but it takes a lot of time and effort nowadays to be informed. And we have the better ability to be informed than ever before, but it's also really easy to see how in the dark we are. Because I'm trying to work out at my farm, and I'm trying to make enough money to keep afloat and not lose everything, and to take the time to like become educated on a subject.
Well, it's so hard to know what the truth is when you're going to hear. Well, a lot of people, the old-fashioned advice is it's the middle, but it's not the middle. You have one side, you got the other side. Maybe both of them are wrong, but the middle is not the answer. You got to, like, and with today's technology of deep fakes and who knows what else to influence mass opinion,
that's. It's not like you can just sit down because you know that they're lying. That's the other thing. It's not like I could just sit down and read the newspaper and be like, well, that's what the old chaps want me to think. I can't wait for the next paper. You know,
I guess you can do that.
You can, but you know they're lying. And at that point, what is the point of even reading that paper if you're just being fed lies?
So it's not. It's like arguing with the devil. You're better off just ignoring it.
Yeah, though that's kind of where I am now. It's like on these topics, I know how to get to the bottom of them. And if I had the time, I could really educate myself and be somebody who really knew what was going on, at least to the best of my ability. But you have these things, like we've got a conflict going on over there, which is really important and is going to decide like the fate of the whole world in some way. It's like a butterfly effect. You've got millions of people that are getting sucked into this horrible war, and it's going to affect us in some way.
I don't think we can understate just how massive a war it actually is, because we like to think that war is just like Afghanistan, but this is not just a little conflict like Afghanistan. There's 200,000 plus casualties in it already within less than a year.
If you wonder why, like, why is inflation still so bad and all this stuff? All our money's going over there. Like, we are funding. Like, it's affecting just our like ability to feed our kids here.
Yeah,
you know, and that's nothing compared to getting shot up in Ukraine. Like that's it's minuscule, but it's still bad. It's still one of these things that's affecting us everywhere. And there's no way to be properly informed. Or not no good way to be properly informed on these subjects and be able to survive.
Yeah. Well, I think you can get the Russia is more effective than we like to make them out to be, because they've taken a whole lot of territory. I think it's really interesting is like on the maps of how much Russia has taken, they'll show how much the Ukraine took back, and all it is just that Russia had a strategy where they pushed towards Kiev so that they could make them siphon troops off away from Mariupol or wherever, and then pull back away from Kiev so that they can conquer Mariupol. And yeah. they have a land route all the way to Crimea now, and that's what they wanted to begin with. So I don't know when it stops.
I think that's probably how the war will end. There'll probably be this kind of negotiated end to the war, where Russia probably keeps a land route to Mariupol, and Putin is able to say, this is what we wanted, and go to his people and go, well, we won the war. And we're able to say, Ukraine still exists, and they're in NATO now, and so we won.
I don't know if Putin's going to let Ukraine go to NATO.
Maybe not. I mean, I don't think he should.
When NATO was formed, Poland wasn't even part of it. And then they made Poland part of it, and then they made...
Putin tried to join NATO, and they were basically... They were like, no, this is clearly... This is an anti-Russian federation. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point. You can't be in our anti-Russia club. You know. Kind of defeats the whole purpose if Russia's in NATO. But on the other hand, maybe that's what, you know... Maybe you should be cooperating some with the big guy in your region.
Well, they just... NATO is just an excuse so that we can put nuclear missiles right next to his front door. Like, they already took Estonia and Latvia.
Was it 6 or 11? It's some way more than zero bio labs, which were testing. They had samples of DNA and from different ethnicities in Russia.
They were specifically targeting Russians.
Right all along the border. And we're just like, why would Putin be threatened by it? It's the same kind of labs that we were funding in China that ended up creating COVID. Like, this is just clearly despicable things that we're doing around the world that are really hard to find out if you're just an American watching the news.
What you got to ask yourself is, if Russia put bioweapon labs and nuclear missiles in Cuba, would we invade? Oh, wait.
Yes.
It happened. We invaded. Yeah. We didn't win, but we invaded.
Yeah. We pushed them back. We made them back down. We got to the point that they were like, okay, we're going home.
Yeah.
You know? And they thankfully didn't start just blowing up our infrastructure.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's a really tricky situation to understand, especially the fact that most of our stuff is coming through a propaganda machine on our end, because we are involved in this war. One of the biggest things that makes you realize how bad the propaganda is the media being like, oh, Russia can't fight, they're underfunded, they're understaffed.
I saw the funniest thing yesterday all the time. The media acknowledged for the first time there was some shooting in Times Square, and they asked... they were like, it's a gun-free zone, so maybe these gun-free zones don't actually work, because criminals don't listen to them.
their answer to that is always, well, we just have to get rid of the guns, because clearly the gun-free zone doesn't work.
Oh, because criminals are going to listen to you saying you have to turn in your guns or whatever.
If we take all the guns away, they won't have any guns, Martin.
You ever see that video of that Democrat lady cutting her rifle in half, making a short barrel rifle? She was saying she was destroying it.
Instead, she created
short barrel rifle. And
a Form 9 or whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, you got a tax stamp for that or no? But, well, I don't know. Is there much else to talk about on the subject at the moment?
I guess my last point is that if you look at the economic war, Russia is just outclassing us so much. Because there's a chart of the tanks that are going into the battle, and our tanks are like $7 million, and Putin's tank costs $500,000. Mm-hmm. And we have Hansi turbine engines, and he's just using a V8 diesel.
The one thing that puts me in a state of disease, there's like only two countries in the world that are not using the international banking system. Russia was one that was on the international banking system, and I'm pretty sure North Korea, which I think now is, and Syria, last time I checked. Syria, that Bashar al-Assad is the one guy who won't do that. We're bombing him into obliteration just for the last, basically as long as I can remember. And now Russia is on, they have gold standard, and they're pushing for their own currency, and it's working, but I don't know that the powers that be will allow any country to be, and I guess as long as they've promised to get back on whatever when the war ends, but I don't think any country that stays on the gold standard or stays on their own currency is going to be allowed to exist in today's world.
Yeah.
But, and I don't know, I don't know that it's just necessarily just this powerful cabal. I think it is a powerful cabal, but it's not as sinister as a lot of people make it out to be just right on the surface. It's just literally these rich people are like, I'm not funding anybody who goes with this guy who won't do business with me. And next thing you know, every country's got to go along with it.
So you think Russia's going to immediately go back onto...
I feel like they have to. There's no way they're allowed to. There's no way that they would be allowed to continue that way. Because any country that has tried to go on the gold standard gets invaded.
Well, Russia's probably the only country big enough to put up a resistance to any invasion.
Maybe.
Except China. China could do it too, but...
I feel like there's enough people in the Russian government, though, that would
push... There might be,
I feel like any large country is going to have enough people. And China could do it if they wanted to, but I don't think they're going to... I just don't see it happening. I mean, we look at like the countries that did it, like Syria. I think Saddam Hussein did it. Like every country where they try to go on the gold standard, we destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
Gaddafi, I think he tried to go gold standard. Well,
I'm just not sure that the U.S. would be that successful at destroying Russia, but.
I don't know. All out war, I think we've got a good chance.
Well, we got a good chance of being destroyed ourselves, though. So,
Yeah, they've got nukes and everything else.
Yeah.
It's also, what side does China go on? Because China can make so much money either way. Like, are they going to go...
So. Yeah.
I mean, on the Chinese front, I was listening the other day, if Russia loses, China does great, because China then becomes the only people that Russia can really trade with. Because China doesn't care about our sanctions with Russia, so... They can trade openly with Russia and use all their ports, because they have no shortage of ports, and push out Russian products all over the world, whereas if Russia doesn't have access to Mariupol, they're cut off. You know, they just have China to trade with. They have China and a block of sanctioned countries that won't let them, you know.
Yeah. Well, is it possible for Russia to be an independent state without needing to trade? But I don't know that it is.
I think it is possible, but I don't think that they can keep up in defending themselves. That's the one thing I see with like a country that tries to go totally independent. Are they going to be able to keep up? It's like it's almost like, well, the Amish do pretty good at being their own little cohort, but if they were trying to keep up with IBM and build computers just themselves, they wouldn't be able to do it.
No. No, but
so keeping your war machine up and
it's one thing talking about Syria and it's a different thing talking about Russia, because
Russia has a
war machine that's mm-hmm. unmatched compared to anybody but the U.S. and maybe China, maybe India.
Yeah, I think a lot of the corruption that they talked about in the Russian military at the beginning of the war and the middle part of, like, you know, this is the end, but it's still going on at this time. I think a lot of it is, like, we're just overlooking how bad corruption is here in the U.S. and in other places. Like, you talk about, like, MREs that were, like, spoiled coming out right out of the factory and and soldiers that were sent into all these different places with Agent Orange over their head and, Yeah, we've done so many things. What's this fort that everybody stayed at and they got cancer from the water? It's not like our military doesn't have a bunch of corruption and stuff. You know, you watch them put bleach into their water tanks for the soldiers to drink and it starts foaming out the top. It's so, you know, contaminated.
Yeah.
So it's not like our soldiers aren't getting, obviously, probably better than them. But, every army seems to have some pretty bad...
Well, that's another thing. Like, Russia's managing to pay their people, like, their soldiers, like, 20,000 a year, I think. It's like that low to fight on the front lines of war. And we spend $1 million per soldier to not fight. And then I don't know how big their life insurance plan is, but it's pretty big.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting thought, because it's like, okay, $20,000 is not bad if you have no expenses. It's not great, but like if you survive and then they just hand you $20,000 when you get back for a year, it's not the worst.
If you survive,
but I wouldn't be super happy with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, maybe it goes farther over there, but I can't imagine it goes a whole lot farther.
No, I wouldn't imagine so.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting thought. I wonder how much, like, is... I don't imagine that they're making enough just looting things to make up for it either.
Well, I think they've discouraged looting quite a bit because it doesn't look good. So.
No. Huh. Well, war is bad. I hope we don't have to fight one with Russia.
Yeah.
Personally. Because we already are. As a country, we already are, in a way. But.
Yeah, well, like, we have troops on the ground. We've spent billions and billions of dollars for it. We've severed their pipeline. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if they attack, it's like basically we've given them every reason to go to war with us directly. But I think they're smart enough to know that pulling a Pearl Harbor and attacking the U.S. is a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then that puts you in a really bad situation because now you're getting attacked by this country that you're scared to attack back. I mean, they could, and of course, if they do any small act of sabotage, well, oh, that's an act of war. we're poking the bear, but we're holding a machine gun at the same time. So if the bear pokes back, we can just, you know.
Yeah.
The bear can probably maul us while we're shooting it, but it's going to be pretty bad if we let that grizzly bear start attacking us. And we're doing everything we can to provoke it seems. It's almost to the point that it looks like we're just trying to create war. I think that's what really comes across to me. It's almost to the point where we're doing literally everything that we can think of that we could, like, still spin it as Russia just attacked us, oh my goodness, in the media.
Mm-hmm.
like, destroying the pipeline, putting soldiers over there on the ground, funding everything. If they attacked us, it'd be like, yeah, of course they attacked us. But but the media, it's just enough that we are not, like, actively, like, sending missiles from bases in the U.S. to Russia. that we could still pretend like we didn't do anything. But no, I think it would be... I don't know. I'm not as well informed on this subject as I'd like to be, and so I want that to be, like, really clear when people listen. But don't just take the media's word for it. Don't take, like, what you're... In anything. But especially in this conflict, especially when we are in a country that has vested interest... And
yeah, you don't have to government take our word for it either, for but...
yeah, don't. Do your best to do your own research, but don't take that... Don't just take some journalist's word, because if there's anything that's untrustworthy, it's journalists.
Don't go look up at Snopes.
Yeah. Yeah, Snopes. I would like to be lied to today. I'm going to go look at Snopes. But...
One of these days, we'll be fact-checked on Snopes.
Oh, that's how you know you made it. Well, as traditionalist Catholics, we're already on, like, the ADL hate group website. The FBI has got pamphlets going around for us. What's that meme going around? It's like, It's two FBI agents looking through the window, and this guy's got like he's got the Pope's insignia, and he's on a computer. And they said just the other day he was Googling looking for pre 1960s missiles. I forget what it was.